The deterioration of finances in Western Oregon counties keeps changing what the public can expect in the way of public services. Josephine County is the most dire example so far, with the sheriff's office unable to run patrols around the clock or investigate major crimes. Jackson County's sheriff's office continues to function, but other services will need voter support to stay open, say the commissioners. A library service district is up for a vote in the May 20th election, and there's a similar vote on the creation of an extension service district. That's Measure 15-121, 15 for the county, 121 for the measure number, to establish an agricultural extension service district for gardens, farms, forests, 4-H. Today we'll hear from the yes on 15-121 side. Meredith Reynolds is the chair of Friends of Research and Extension here in the studio with me. Welcome, Meredith.
Thank you for having us.
Jack Duggan is here as well. He's the campaign coordinator for Yes on 15-121. Hi, Jack.
Good morning.
And Kevin Talbert is with us as well, also a volunteer with the campaign. Kevin, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. So how long ago did it become clear that that this was going to be the avenue by which you'd have to go to essentially preserve extension service in Jackson County?
Almost exactly a year.
And what happened?
Well, the budget committee for the county recommended to the commissioners that they defund or lower funding for a number of services. Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center was one of those services. They recommended that we be defunded. Unfortunately, because of the federal Smith-Lever Act from early in the 20th century, in order to have an extension service in a county, it has to be funded from three sources: federal funds, state funds, and local funds. Extension services work through land grant institutions in every state, which is Oregon State University in our case. And Oregon State funds SOREC very, very well.
Which is the acronym for Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center.
Thank you. Yes. And the feds fund us well. And the county has always funded us, although they've had to decrease their funding over the years because of budget problems. However, if one of those three funders pulls out, the other two cannot fund an extension center. So we were left with the probability of no extension service at all if we didn't, we as citizens, as users of extension, didn't find a way to an alternate way to fund it.
How big a budget is this, either Jack Duggan or Kevin Talbert? Jack?
Well, the budget item in the county budget for last year was $205,000. That's actually less than what Extension really needs from the county to perform the functions fully that they need. Things like maintenance are not really covered very well. County owns the property. It's a very complex formula, but it represents 10% of the Extension budget. So every dollar that the county was putting in at that point was bringing $8.48 into the county through the state and federal funds that Meredith mentioned, as well as through grants and fees. And the staff at Extension works very hard at getting grant funding for their programs. Unfortunately, sometimes that takes away from being able to actually deliver educational programs, which is their primary mission.
You know, most people, I think, are vaguely aware of what Extension does, but for the person who has a suburban lot, they might mow their lawn, et cetera. I mean, what do you tell them about what the Extension service provides for people in Jackson County? Kevin Talbert?
Well, there's a whole list of programs that Extension provides that many people have heard of, and some of the best known, of course, are 4-H, which involves thousands of youth here in Jackson County, and it helps to, you know, it isn't just the 4-H that people remember either. It's where people raised animals and went to the fair. That's part of it and an important part, but there are more contemporary programs now that deal with youth leadership and dealing with technology and all kinds of other skills that are more contemporary. Master Gardeners, most people have heard of. We have 400 or 500 members of Master Gardeners. I'm a Master Gardener. I think you've had them here on the show. And the person out mowing their lawn may notice some brown spots in their lawn someday, or they have a tree dying in their lawn, and who are they going to call? Well, they're going to call the plant clinic at OSU Extension, and they're going to get some assistance from some Master Gardeners. And there's a Master Food Preserver program. There's a land steward program that, that's right, where I met Jack, actually. We were both in that for rural landowners that are concerned about having a defensible, defensible property, or how to deal with invasive weeds, or how to, what's a good pasture management program. So there are a variety of other programs that support the agricultural industry here, particularly the pear orchards. And the thing that I think so people are so excited about is the wine industry. You know, growing grapes, making wine is seen as part of a big part of the economic future of our valley. And Extension, if you talk to the grape growers or the winemakers, they'll credit Extension with helping make that possible and necessary as we continue.
So when we talk about the mix of things that are provided by the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center, do we have any idea of what the mix is on people who use it who are in the agriculture business and people who are not in the agriculture business?
I was at Extension last week, and a young couple came in to the plant clinic, as Kevin talked about, and they had recently purchased. I stuck around to get the information. They had recently purchased a slightly larger than 1 acre lot in Central Point, and they came into the plant clinic to talk about the plants that were there. They wondered whether they should eliminate some and how they could go about making that 1.5 or 1.2 acres or whatever it was productive and put in a food garden for their young family. And so those are the kinds of people that come to Extension. Everybody. It's not just the big agriculture. It's the small farm programs. I just yesterday was reading the Rogue Local magazine about the local farms and wineries and stuff, and there was a little bullet item in there. 89% of the farms in the state of Oregon are less than 100 acres. So those people are the people who bring you food at the farmers' markets.
89%? Fewer than 100 acres.
Fewer than 100 acres. And that's in the little Rogue Local magazine. But those are the people who are producing local food, quality food. And that's not, of course, all Extension does, you know, because as Kevin mentioned, you've got master gardeners, you've got 4-H, you've got small farms, you've got small woodlands, you've got land stewards. Every one of these programs at Extension requires their participants to contribute volunteer hours to the community. So there are tens of thousands of volunteer hours generated in our community because of Extension.
So, for example, the master gardeners, while they go ahead and they spend some money for their training and they get the training, but they also have to go out and perform the service for other people, right?
Yeah, they're putting in, I think it's 40 or 50 hours as part of their initial master gardener training class, volunteer hours. And then a lot of people, like me, you get hooked because you realize you can make a contribution to the community. And so year after year, you're going back and volunteering to help in the plant clinic or helping with the community garden.
Right, or help the Access community garden. Access has a community garden that really was grown. There you go. Nice use of the word. Grown by master gardeners in conjunction with people who use Access services. And that's not something that those master gardeners are required to do. They do it because, like Kevin said, it really does become part of your life. It's a wonderful community of people, and you see a new way of volunteering.
We're talking about the ballot measure on the May 20th ballot in Jackson County. It would establish an extension service district. We'll explain how that how the mechanism works or would work if it passes. Coming up, we're talking to Meredith Reynolds, Jack Duggan, and Kevin Talbert, all on the Yes on 121, 15-121 side. You can join this discussion on the exchange. Our phone numbers, the local number for the Rogue Valley, Jackson County, 541-552-6782. Anywhere else, 800-838-3760. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. How much has the entire Extension Service program been trimmed over the years? It sounds like Jackson County's been ratcheting it down just a bit over time.
In developing feasibility study, I can't tell you in dollar numbers, but I can tell you it's roughly 3.5 FTE that have been lost over the last 10 years.
So full-time positions.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 full-time
positions
have been lost.
It's probably about a 30% or 40% reduction in staff from what there was 10 years ago.
So still what, 6 people there full-time?
31 full and part-time positions. There are a number of people who come in and contribute, you know, part-time or seasonal time with the gardens or with particular classes. For instance, the Master Food Preservers Program has a variety of people who come in and teach specific classes on things like canning or dealing with fish, or one that's coming up, they're doing something called trail preservation, which I thought had something to do with hiking, but it's actually how to dry food and prepare food so that you can eat meals, full meals, when you go out on a hike.
I think just to clarify, that there are, I believe, 12 full and part-time professional staff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These are often, you know, PhD prepared entomologists or silviculturalists, viticulturalists, you know, people that are providing advice to the commercial interests, whether they're orchards or woodlots or whatever. And then the other staff that Jack is mentioning are usually, in fact, I think in all cases, funded by people who participate in the program. So the Master Gardener Program has a staff person, Bob Reynolds, who's a great leader, very knowledgeable, but his salary is paid for by the fees and what's
user
generated
fees
through the Master Gardener Program.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. To establish once again, ballot measure 15-121 for Jackson County voters establishes an Agriculture Extension Service district. This is not a levy. So what is the mechanism here? How does this work if it passes?
If it passes, the district would be governed by the Board of Commissioners and 3 lay members, generally the Budget Committee. And so what they would then do is they would determine what the actual budget for the coming year will be. And while the voters will pass a maximum rate of a nickel per thousand, the Budget Committee can determine that based on the budget needs, they will actually have an assessed value that may be 3 cents, it may be 3.5 cents, something in that range.
So so first of all, the district would include the entire county?
It will include the entire county and all 11 incorporated cities in Jackson County.
But it includes all those cities because each city council agreed that the citizens of their city would pay that.
All right. And should this pass, then, for every $1,000 a house is worth, a piece of property is worth in Jackson County, a nickel would go up to a nickel. And as you point out, they might decide to levy less than that. Let's take some calls. We have Cynthia and Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about Jackson County's extension ballot measure with Meredith Reynolds, Jack Duggan, and Kevin Talbert.
Yeah, thanks. I have no doubt in my mind that these programs are wonderful and very valuable to the community, the libraries as well. But I just don't think a property tax is the right way to fund it. I would much rather see maybe a tax on wines. You know, we talked about the agricultural changes that are going on in the valley, or, you know, alcohol in general. You know, sales tax has always been such a, because we don't have sales tax here in Oregon, everything goes to property tax. And I just think there needs to be some way to shift the burden, because property taxes are just getting unaffordable, and it's passed on to renters as well.
That's my comment. All right. Thanks for that, Cynthia. Appreciate it. All right. How do you guys want to respond to that?
You know, when we first confronted the fact that the county's general fund budget was looking at eliminating funding for the extension service, We actually asked those kinds of questions. We asked ourselves, what's the best way to ensure that Extension has secure and stable funding into the future? And this is the avenue open to us as citizens to say we want to keep Extension. We're not professional politicians. We're not budget masters. We're people trying to save a service for this county that is extremely valuable to everybody, whether they realize it or not sometimes. And so this is the avenue that was open to us. And we would love to find some other way. We would, you know, it's always the, boy, I wish I had a rich uncle that you just come in and throw money. But that's not available to us. What's available to us is a special service district. And in that case, what we're saying to the residents of the county is, look, we are closely affiliated with this organization, and we see that in 2012, 40,000 people made individual contact with Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center.
What's the number again?
40,000.
40,000, okay.
And so we see that, and we're saying to the voters, you know, if you value this, if you recognize the value to the community, I mean, this is an economic driver for Jackson County. This organization creates jobs. If you believe that, if you agree with us on that, and I think anybody who understands extension will, then this is the avenue we have to approach.
It's worth noting that Jackson County isn't the first county to face a loss of county funding. And the same question has come up around the state, and I believe there are 12 or 14 other counties.
Yes. Elaine went through this about a year and a half ago.
That's right. And they have gone to a district very much like we're talking about. And it's hard not to be sympathetic with people around the tax issues. I mean, people are concerned with their ability to pay those and keep their homes and their properties. But, I mean, to put it in perspective, the average homeowner in Jackson County is looking at about $10 a year to have an extension service district and to contribute to the economy of the region. And to you know, when you ask people what they appreciate about extension, they often talk about the quality of life in Southern Oregon, that we have a rural lifestyle, and that is supported because we have a viable agricultural industry. And so, yes, there is a cost, and if there was an alternative route, as Jack is suggesting, maybe we could take it, but this is the route that's available.
Right. So I see the average assessed value of Jackson County is about $154,000, and so somebody who's, again, the assessed value, not the real market value of the house, because those are different in Oregon, they'd pay about $7.71 a year for the nickel per thousand.
And two really important things to understand about this is, first of all, the 5 cent amount can never be increased. And it doesn't all have to be assessed. As Jack explained, that's at the discretion of the Board of Commissioners. Secondly, this is dedicated funding. It can't be used for anything else.
That's the big question for a lot of people, though. It's like, well, wait a minute. We passed levies years ago for this, that, or the other thing, and the county ended up taking them all. The historical levy, the old library levy, for example.
And that's why this is a service district and not a levy. That's a very important distinction there. So I sympathize with Cynthia, and I agree there. Maybe there ought to be another way to fund this, but Jack's right. This is the only way to fund extension, to provide stable, long-term, dedicated funding.
Does it create issues for your campaign that you have the library district measure and potential tax going on at the very same time? I mean, they're creating a library district while you're creating an extension district if both pass.
Well, these things are both a result of the budget committee recommending to commissioners who are commissioners in a county that has diminishing funds every year or increasing needs to apply those funds. We're all in this for the same reason. I wouldn't say that it presents a conflict for us by any means. We're all campaigning to improve the quality of life or maintain the quality of life in Jackson County.
You mentioned the other counties where the extension services have been up against the wall financially as well. I mean, have you learned some lessons from the things that they tried and perhaps didn't succeed at?
We have learned what can happen if you don't succeed. Unfortunately, that's the hard lesson. In one county, and Kevin, you might remember which one. I recall it took more than 2 years to reestablish a 4-H program, and then they were only able to accommodate about 20%, 25% of the number of kids that were involved in 4-H.
That's Lane County.
That was Lane County.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
You know, the other lesson when you talk to people is they say you've really got to get out your vote, because extension is one of those programs that, there's broad support for. You heard our caller, you know, ask about a concern, but at the same time she's saying, you know, I really support this. And we believe that if we can get people to turn in their ballots, we'll have the support. And that's what other people tell us. If you get your voters out, you'll have a service district. But if people see that ballot laying on the table, they don't fill it out and turn it in, then I think we really are at risk. So we need a few more votes. We don't. This is not a slam dunk election for us or for any of the other issues. And so we're really hoping people will.
You mentioned the general level of support. I don't see organized opposition to this measure. There's, I don't know at this point if there are going to be any voters' pamphlet statements against, but we certainly could find no opposition group that has formed up officially.
Well, we haven't found any organized opposition either, and I'm sure that there are individuals out there who support the concept but not the reality of a service district. But our responsibility is to tell people what Extension does so that when they get their ballot, they don't look at it and say, oh, yeah, well, but I just don't know enough about that, so I won't vote. We need to tell people what Extension does. So I would encourage everyone to go to our website, which is communityhappenshere.org.
And it is linked both to our website at jeffexchange.org and our Facebook page, communityhappenshere.org. Ballot measure 15-121 would establish an Extension service district for Jackson County with a tax levy as well to go with it. Not a levy. What are we talking about? A nickel per
service,
thousand. Is what it
it's a service district.
So that money dedicated to the Extension service should this whole measure pass. And if there does become an organized opposition, we'll make sure they're here too. But we've been talking to the pro side, Meredith Reynolds, Jack Duggan, and Kevin Talbert. Thanks all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you,
Jeff.